Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Well, we just talked about the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is actually close to a 10-year high at this point, kind of hovering there. And that's before, analysts remind us, that is before companies like Facebook, Twitter, and Pandora go public. So, should we be worried about another dot-com bubble burst? We're asking, of course, our resident expert, Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
And also with us, Duff McDonald, contributing editor to Fortune magazine. Louise, first of all, let's talk about just this 10-year high mark that we are getting close to. Should that be worrying?
Well, you know, we're still quite a lot below the very peak of the dot-com bubble that burst so painfully, you know, back around the turn of the century, because we're only up around 3,000, and that was up, the peak was 5,094 in March of 2000. So, you know, some people say we shouldn't be worried because we're a lot below that. And the other thing is, back then, a lot of tech companies didn't really make much money. You know, it was really, they IPO'd on a dream. But now a lot of tech companies do make money. They actually sell things. And so one of the ratios in the stock market people look at is what the stock price is trading at versus how much the company is earning. And that multiple today is 22 times. It's trading at a price 22 times the earnings. Back at the peak with the bubble, it had been over 100 times. And so that ratio is a bit reassuring.
But Duff McDonald of Fortune magazine, it does seem to me like we have some companies which are a little questionable, especially these that are coming on the market soon. I mean, the valuation of Facebook is through the roof. Does Twitter actually make money? I mean, are perhaps these big headlining companies, is that part of what's making people nervous?
Well, I think it's along the lines of something Louise just said. This bubble, if it is a bubble, is a lot more discriminating than last time. But it's having a similar effect, at least in the private markets, because people are focused on a handful of winning companies. Facebook certainly makes money. Zynga mints money. Twitter, who knows? But essentially, you know, we're talking about a half dozen to a dozen companies that people are really excited about here, which suggests some sense of more rational investing decisions. But at the same time, the fact that so many people want into so few this time around means that Facebook in particular is valued at levels that people really can't seem to wrap their heads around, and that includes me. They're trading for something like 25 times revenues in the private markets, which is not a sustainable level.
All right, Zynga, I should point out, is the company that makes those online games like Farmville that people get obsessed with. But Duff, are we seeing the same thing we saw in other dot-com bubbles, especially the big one, in which the success of a small handful of companies means that investors start thinking all tech companies are going to be profitable like that? They're all going to have that same kind of innovation and success.
Well, no, I think that was my point. And as Louise points out, the NASDAQ is well below where it was. So certainly not all companies. This is not a rising tide floating all stocks. There is very focused excitement this time around, particularly in the late stage private companies that people want to get a piece of, because IPOs are always a huge marketing incident, and you tend to get a pop if a company has got some good PR or even capable PR. But the number that people are focused on, it's still a really relatively tiny number of companies.
That's Duff McDonald of Fortune magazine. Louise Story of the New York Times. There is kind of this talk where people are looking at the NASDAQ index and wondering whether it could be a dot-com bubble. And maybe we can take comfort from that. Maybe the fact that in advance of this, people are already wondering about the quality of their investments, maybe that's a good thing.
People are definitely being cautious when they look at the stocks in the NASDAQ. I think the really interesting thing here, Duff was talking about a lot of these companies. He kept saying in the private market, in private trading, Facebook, people are valuing Facebook at so much, Twitter at so much, Pandora, LinkedIn, Groupon. These are all private companies. And the one thing that concerns me here is people are talking about them being worth $50 billion, $10 billion before they're even on the public markets. So before regular investors have the chance to even try to get a piece of these and try to ride the wave of them, they seem to be riding this wave in the private markets, where only venture capital firms and elite investors, wealthy investors, can get in these private markets. And so, you know, that's something to watch, is when these companies IPO, do they IPO at these lofty levels, and then do they go up anymore? And it could be that kind of all the big appreciation and value of these companies, or a lot of it, is happening behind the scenes in the private markets before ordinary investors get to trade them.
Well, Duff, McDonald, should we be worried about what Louise is talking about? Is that a concern?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily a concern. It's just, if you're an investor and you're thinking of putting in an order for Facebook, buyer beware. This thing's trading at a level it may never see again.
Well, Louise, what do you think is this larger problem of the private versus the public investing market?
Well, you know, what's happened is there's become a lot more paperwork you have to do to be a public company, you know, with Sarbanes-Oxley. Mm-hmm. And so it's forestalled when companies want to IPO. And so they're IPOing later in their life cycle. But again, just on a fairness level for ordinary investors out there, I do question if delaying these IPOs is fair, because a lot of the appreciation may be happening before it gets publicly traded. And so people should keep in mind, when these things IPO, there might not be a lot of room left to go up.
But have we gotten the regulations in place that might help us avoid another dot-com bubble?
Well, you know, there's not really a regulation that prohibits trading a stock up, right? I mean,
right.
That can
it's
happen.
The
there's no anti-bubble regulation, right? And I'm not sure if there should be. People debate that all day long about what you do to rein in hungry investors who want return. That's a difficult market question.
Although we have found that they're not always the best at regulating themselves. Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. You also spoke with Duff McDonald, contributing editor to Fortune magazine. We're talking about the NASDAQ index. It is kind of hovering near a 10-year high level. The NASDAQ actually dropped yesterday.